What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Bamboo Podcast, episode 122, teaching only the fastest and most sustainable social media growth strategies out there. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, I'm going to give you guys my reaction to the new documentary, The Social Dilemma, as well as talk about the upcoming update to iOS 14 that is going to majorly impact Facebook ads, and some are even saying might be the death of Facebook ads and their profitability as they know it. So I'm going to be talking about not just what is going on, but how to respond to it, and I'm going to give you a lot of concrete tips, very actionable advice on today's episode of exactly what you should do to combat all of these things so that they aren't the death of your business, especially if you run Facebook ads or you're looking to start soon. Now, before I get into all of this, I do want to say that I am now accepting applications for mentees for 2021. I'm going to detail the program a little bit more specifically at the end of this episode, but we have a lot to cover. So right now, I'm just going to say that if you would like to, check this out while you listen to this episode, you can go into the description right now, go to the Apply to Work with Derek button wherever I've got it, and then check out that application. If you are at all curious of joining my group mentor program, where there's only going to be an elite small group of 20 people, and this program is called Marketing Mastery, and it's basically weekly coaching calls. You pay as you go too, so you only stay in as long as you need, but there's only 20 people allowed max at a time. It is going to start on January 10th, so I need all applications in before then. You put in the application. If it looks good, then me and you are going to talk on the phone, just me and you one-on-one for probably about 30 to 45 minutes and get to know you and your business. If it looks like a business that I can easily advise on and easily earn you your investment back, I'll let you know and we can go from there. Otherwise, there's only 20 people allowed and I'm going to get a lot more than 20 applications. So I do have to be selective of the businesses I work with, but mostly just looking for the people that have the most drive out there, the most motivation to do well, and the right just mentality about being an entrepreneur overall, because this is a program that if you really want to get to know me on a personal basis, this is definitely it. Of these 20 people, I'll certainly know you on a, first name basis, and I will know your business inside and out. So it makes it really easy for me to advise on your business when we get to talk week after week, and I know exactly what your business is. The one other thing I'll add is this: despite being an elite one-on-one program, it is a lot more affordable than what a lot of you may think. The way that I structured it was so that I could make this inviting for new business owners that don't have a ton of liquid cash or want to pay for months of coaching up front. This is for business owners who really could use some help with their marketing right now, but don't have a ton of upfront cash to dish out. Then I got you. That's who this program is designed for. So while I do this episode, make sure you go down to the description and fill out the application. No harm in doing so. All right, so on today's episode, we are talking about my response to the social dilemma, as well as the iOS 14 updates coming out. And really, the two go hand in hand because it's all just talking about the amount of data that Facebook and Instagram and all of these social platforms have on us. So I'm not going to talk about all these things in the social dilemma about how Instagram's bad and it's ruining our lives, because that's not really anything we can do about. Unfortunately, the movie, The Social Dilemma, I think most people's response to it is, wow, that's a lot of stuff Instagram knows about us. And that's crazy how their whole job is to stimulate us and present us with relevant content that is going to emotionally keep us on the app and scrolling. And the real name of the game is just how long they can keep us on the app so that they can present us with more ads. The more ads that they present, the more money they make, because Facebook is pretty much entirely paid by advertisers. And the way that advertisers make money is if they can run profitable ads, obviously. The only way that advertisers are going to stay on running ads is if they're profitable. And how do you help them make profitable ads? Well, Facebook just knows so much about us that has never existed in marketing, okay? Before, when they would do television advertising, they would just say, all right, we're looking for a woman age 30 to 60, so we're going to advertise in the middle of Ellen. But they couldn't really target by interest. They couldn't target by you visit our website in the last 7 days. They can't target you based off of you've commented on one of our Instagram posts in the last year. They can't do things like that. Until Facebook ads came out. And that's why it's been humongous growth for business opportunities out there, because running profitable ads has never been easier. It's still not easy, but it's never been easier with the amount of data that Facebook gives these advertisers. So that's essentially what the movie is about, is that, there's white guys in California that are determining a lot of information that is presented to billions of people. And it's never been that way before, but these algorithms are just designed to keep us on the app as long as they, and that's how they make all their money. And the movie is a lot of people from Facebook and Instagram coming out and just saying, you know, they realize they kind of built a monster in a way. But like I said, there's just only so much that we can do about it, unless you really want to delete all your apps and such. So in a position where we can even fathom to do that and keep our business afloat, the only thing that Facebook and Instagram could do as a company would be to change their feed back to a chronological feed, where the posts are just in order of the time they were posted, and they're not trying to throw all this emotional, relevant content in front of us that is meant to keep us addicted to the apps. That's literally the only thing they can do. But it really would hurt the app a lot, honestly, because as much as we might think we want that, it will not be the most relevant content that we're seeing. And we naturally will be leaving social media quicker. So it's not a good business move for them to do. Although if they ever would just feel, you know, bad about what they have going on, that's really the only thing that they could do as a company. Until then, we just have to adapt with what the current situation is. So on today's episode, the beginning here, I'm going to rattle off a bunch of small tips to get you guys on and off social media in a quicker fashion, because there's only so much stuff that we really need to do on there per day to generate results for our business. After that, it's just us getting caught in the scroll, just mindlessly scrolling. And before we know it, half of our day is gone and we've only accomplished a quarter of our to-do list. And a lot of times it's going to social media. This is a very common problem for us social media marketers, because every time we go onto these apps, we are at risk for staying on longer than it takes us to do our post. You could go on there with the intention of, I'm going to do my post for the day, and you scroll for half an hour to an hour before you even remember that you're supposed to be doing your post. This is at me, at least. I'm very ADD, so it's really easy for me to get distracted. And this has been a huge time waster for me since joining the app, you know, 10 years ago, and it has for most people. And unless we actually do things to booby trap ourselves to not overly use social media, then it's very easy for us to do so. So let's go over some of the small tips first. The first one is going to be, if you haven't started using a keyboard replacement to do your hashtags, this will really help you out. So what you do, this is probably exists on Android or Samsung phones. I'm not sure what we're supposed to say anymore, but just non-Apple phones, it probably exists. I don't know the exact button combo, but on Apple, you would go to settings and then general and then keyboard and then text replacement. And in there, basically I just have all of these groups of hashtags. So if I want to do a hashtag grouping that is relating to marketing, for me, I have it set up where if I type in marketing hashtag, it will auto-populate a list of 30 hashtags that are related to marketing. I also have it for motivation, for sales, for Instagram, for social media marketing in general. I just have all of these different groups of hashtags, and it makes it so rather than going over to a notes section and copying, pasting, and adding those extra steps that you may have if you already have groups of hashtags saved somewhere, this just makes it so you can just do a quick short code, and then the text replacement will key in and populate with your list of hashtags. So that's the first tip to saving some time hashtagging, which some of you do from scratch every single time. And it's good to at least start with a base of 25 or 30 and then alter a few rather than just start from scratch every time and make sure you're actually using groups of hashtags with proven results, not just, oh, these are hashtags in that market. Like, make sure it's a very refined list of really good hashtags. The second thing you can do is make sure you're using content templates. So this just means that if you want to post, let's say for me, one of my content templates is a podcast promotional template. So if I wanted to promote episode 122, I can go into this template. I can change episode 121 to episode 122. I can change the title. I can change just a few things about it, and I have a post made. I can go in and film a video and then put that within my video template and not have to make this post from scratch every single time. I have carousel templates, things like that, anything that you can do to speed up your content production. And this also makes your page just look more uniform anyway. So you should absolutely do it for that reason too. But if you haven't created content templates yet for you to be following with your infographics or literally any type of post, this would be a big time saver. And it also makes it so you can put more effort into this post, because you can spend hours on it and it not matter. If you spend like 4 hours to create one post, it will feel like a total waste of time. But if you spend multiple hours and you tweak this and you just make it look as good as you possibly can, it will be all worth it because it's going to look like that every single time.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
The next thing is on your feed, make sure you're only following people that are relevant to that account. So never follow the same person from multiple of your accounts. Like, you might do this for one of your friends. You follow them from your personal account and your business account, and it's making you see that content twice. You don't want to do that. Okay. Set yourself up that when you're on your business account, you're only seeing relevant content in front of you, and you're not seeing the things that are going to distract you. And that's what a lot of businesses have going for them right now, especially if you did the follow unfollow strategy and you have a bunch of people that you haven't unfollowed. You are just, you're following all these people that you really don't care about their stuff, and your feed is just so unproductive that if you get lost in the scroll on there, you're going to completely forget that you're even working on your business. You want to be very selective with the people that you follow from each account, so that when you are going down the feed, that if you like and comment people's posts down the feed, it's actually doing something for your business rather than just putting a like out there that's not really going to ever translate to staying top of mind with that person or literally do anything for you. So be very careful with who you follow, and also be careful with what you like. And it's always weird for me to say this because, of course, I want you guys to like all of my posts. I would love it if you did so. And I don't like to tell you to be stingy with your likes for the sake of that, as well as you shouldn't be stingy with your likes to actual content that you like, because content creators do a lot of work, right? And they really love likes, so it's not that big of a deal just to hand them out. And it does keep you top of mind with that person, and it does just keep you active on the app in Instagram's eyes, and they like that, so it helps your trust score and everything. So yes, I'm not saying be extremely stingy with your likes, but don't like posts that are going to send you down a rabbit hole. For instance, like if I see a cute cat post, and what do you know, the next video is another cat video, because that's just how it works. Whatever content you're responding to at that time, it will put more of that in front of you. If you start watching football videos, it's going to put more football videos in front of you because they can see that it's working. So you do want to, when you are on working hours, don't like content that is not that might send you down a rabbit hole that is completely unrelated. Okay. And also know that you're not an exception to this. Just because we know how Instagram works doesn't make it like, oh, well, I know how it works, so I can like this cat video. It's fine. Like, it's not going to suck me down that hole. Like, you just have to know that you're not an exception to this just because you know about it. So don't let them send you down that rabbit hole. Fourth thing that I would recommend is with all of your social media apps, if you are someone who you probably got a laptop and you got a phone, but if you got a tablet too, or any other devices, don't have all of your apps on all of them. Okay. You shouldn't be able to go on Instagram on your phone, then pull out your tablet and then be tempted to go on Instagram again. I don't have Facebook on my phone or on my tablet because I only use Facebook on my computer. I don't have Instagram on my tablet because I only use Instagram on my phone. And the Amazon seller account, I love refreshing to see how many units were sold for the day. But when I have it on my phone, I just check it way too much. And it doesn't really matter because there's nothing I should even be doing most of the time about these sales numbers, regardless of what they are. I mean, I just kind of know what they are. So I don't need to see like, oh, 17 units sold. Cool. It was 15 an hour ago. Like, I don't need to know that on a day-to-day basis. And the only way for me to not keep refreshing it was for me to delete that app. So I only have Amazon Seller on my tablet, which I use just way less than my phone because I'm like, I don't need to check it that often. Same with like podcast stats. Okay. The thing with being an entrepreneur is when you have marketing going and you have all these channels going, it means you have all this data that you could be analyzing, but you do not need to analyze it every hour. You don't need to see, oh, I got one more email last hour. Cool. I'll refresh it in 3 hours and see if I got any more emails collected. It's just not going to matter to you, but it's very easy to do this because it's very easy to do. It's fun for us to do and watch, and it feels like we're working, but you're not. You're just looking at stats over and over. It'd be the same thing if you did a post and every half hour, you just go back on to see how many likes you got. So that's something that I do sometimes too. Post, I do like to stay on for the next 20 minutes or so and respond to any comments. And some people do like an hour, but it is tempting to go back and see how many likes does it have now. So I do like to just simply delete the app right there after I've been on for a little bit and responded to a few comments. Just delete the app because I know I'm going to go back on. And a lot of what I'm talking about now is just know how you work, because if you set some limits up for you to limit your social media time, but it doesn't really work, you need to keep testing and find different ways that actually is going to work with your lifestyle and be effective for you. The other thing I suggest is to use the screen time feature. This is just on Apple, I'm pretty sure. But what you do is you can just set a desired screen time for the day, and you can also set it per apps. So for me, I just have Instagram set at 1 hour per day. I do not want to give more than an active hour sitting on Instagram. And what this does is it naturally keeps me focused when I'm on the app because I know I only have 1 hour until it would lock. Of course, then you can still do your passcode and make it unlock anyways. But the goal is to not get there because I feel a little bit guilty if I do get there. But even if you get there and you do the passcode and you continue on, at least you have that awareness that, all right, now you're going on over an hour. Are you really okay with that? But in reality, if we're really just trying to be efficient with our business, we should never need more than an hour on there on most days of the week. You'd have to be doing some big kind of promotion, you know, going live that day or doing something, maybe making a post that's going to take you a lot longer than normal, writing a long caption. There would have to be something special about that day for you to actually need over an hour and still be being productive. The thing that works better for me though is I just don't want to see the app at all. So I delete Instagram from my phone nearly every day. Same with TikTok. Very easy to just open your phone, go into the app, scroll for 5 minutes before you really even comprehend what you're doing. You just see your phone there. It might buzz and give you any kind of notification. It could be a completely pointless notification, which that's another tip I'll add is Turn off all notifications if you haven't already. Go into Instagram and do it from every account. Some are totally pointless, like, oh, your friend Tyler is now on Instagram post. Like, there's a lot of just dumb ones that come up. So eliminate as many of those small distractions as you can. That I've heard, I've never personally tried, but it does make a lot of sense. And this is more to just keep you off your phone in general, is that if you turn your phone's color off, so you just turn it to grayscale, it is naturally less stimulating. So this is just a way that if you feel like you're jumping on your phone in general too much, then you can turn it to grayscale and see if that works for you. But it all comes down to testing and see what works the best. One other tip I'll add, I've never personally tried this, but it makes a lot of sense, is that if you just want to spend less time on your phone in general, you can turn your phone to grayscale so that there's no color to it, and it's just less stimulating overall. So I just like the idea of that. I personally haven't tried it, but just to throw it out there for anyone that thinks that might be the solution for them. But yeah, it's just all about finding out what works best for you. Where I would start, though, is at least know what your current screen time is per day. So you have to turn this on Apple phones and just the settings and then screen time. But at least know how many hours you're spending a day on your phone on average and each app, so that if you do have any problems that you want to fix, you're aware of them. Otherwise, you won't, you know, have any clue as to where to start on how to fix these. So just get aware of it. Maybe you are using social media the exact way that you should right now, but most of us are usually using it too much and should at least be dividing our hours spent on our phone differently at the minimum. Let's talk about the iOS 14 updates set to come out in March of 2021. These are imposed by Apple, and it just is going to be a prompt that when you get apps like Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, any app that wants to use your data, it's going to give you a prompt that says, do you want to allow this app to use your data? And the way that it's worded is going to make a lot of people click no. And what that does, we don't know exactly. It might stop all data from going to them, right? Like their the screen time, it might not give us the data on if they comment on our posts. Like in Facebook ads, you can create ads for anyone who's engaged with my post in the last however many days. It might not even give us that data, right? So I'm not exactly sure. And I think only Apple knows at this point. But Facebook is heavily combating back on Apple and trying to do a bunch of stuff to preserve as much data as they can, because they can only sell profitable advertisements if they have a lot of data on their customers. That's why Facebook advertising works better than any other advertising out there. It's because they have so much data. And if they're blocking this, it's going to make it very hard for them, for advertisers to optimize their ads in the ways that they've grown accustomed to over the years. So, ways that they're doing this is that there's this new thing called conversion API that it's gonna start using. So I'm gonna leave links for multiple articles that I'm about to reference that you guys need to check out, because here's a couple things that you can actually do that will make it so you're not going to lose as much data on your customers here. So this first one here is from Foxwell Digital. I'm gonna link that in the description. But basically, here's what it says for why this matters. We already know that there are ad blockers that block Facebook ads from being able to attribute sales to ads being served to a user. We know that over the next 2 years, the ability to effectively attribute these actions is going to diminish as browsers begin to phase out first and third party cookies. However, while ad blockers and browsers block cookie data from being passed on the browser side, they do not have a way of blocking the data that is passed on the server side. So it will only become more valuable in time to be passing data from your server. So this conversion API that you need to set up through just following this article, it's going to depend on if you have Shopify or WordPress or whatever kind of website you use for how you're going to do this, to make it so there will be data passed on the server side so that you can preserve more data than you otherwise would have. The other thing you need to do is verify your domain through Facebook. So I will also leave that link. And again, like, I don't know exactly what this does on a technical standpoint, but it's just going to make your Facebook pixel and your conversion API collect more data overall. And this conversion API thing is not in place of the pixel. The two will work together to make it so Apple can't prevent them from stopping as much data as they can. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a war between Facebook and Apple to see exactly how this process actually gets rolled out. But the way it is right now, with like the way this prompt is worded, the option to not allow the app to access the data is the top option on there. It is like the highlighted recommended option. So a lot of people will probably click this, and I don't know if it's being rolled out in every country or what. So we'll talk more about it later. But as far as what you need to do right now, you need to set up the conversion API and you need to verify your domain through the links that I have in the description here. Apart from the technical side of things, let's talk about the more important things that you can do whenever this kind of news breaks out. Whenever there's going to be an algorithm change, of course, we look at what are the technical ways we can adapt to it. But you want to ask yourself, what are the skill sets that I could learn to algorithm-proof my business? For instance, copywriting. If your response is to say, let me get way better at copywriting, compelling sales message, really nailing down my customers' wants and needs and their thoughts, and writing these awesome scripts, drive conversions, like that will help you so much more than anything else we can do on a technical standpoint. And I'd even say that great copywriting and bad technical side of things, be someone who is a horrible copywriter but is really good on the technical side of things. So let's still remember that ultimately our copywriting is going to be the main driver of our conversions. Specific example. So let's say that we're selling ring lights and we're trying to target Instagram content creators. So what we're going to do on the technical side of things is put in interested in Instagram, interested in content creation, anything related to those kind of search terms. We'll put in like the demographics and the general, locations that we'd find these customers. But on the copywriting side, what we can do to make sure our ads get better results is that, Facebook collects data from what happens on the Facebook side of things always, right? So if there's a certain type of person that is stopping on our ads, regardless of if they leave the Facebook app and go off site or whatever, it doesn't matter. If they stay on Facebook, that data is still going to get to Facebook in some way. So it will know that that person stopping on the ad or clicking on the ad is likely a targeted customer. Now, how do we get our targeted customers to stop on the ad and our untargeted customers to scroll on? Okay, because you want people who are not meant to be customers and see your ad to not engage with it. Otherwise, it gives Facebook data that it shouldn't have. So let's say, I'm selling this ring light. I could write something in the first line that says, trying to grow your Instagram, but your content is just not making it past the current algorithm? ? If I say that, then I'm going to make it so my ad stops the proper traffic rather than if I just said ring light 50% off, then I'm not going to get as many quality people stopping on the ad. So a lot of the times your targeting is not going to come down to what you set in the, as your ad set, but it will be up to the ongoing data that this ad gets from seeing who actually engages on it or even buys in the end. So this concept, I more learned it from Dan Henry. It's called an identifying pattern interrupt. Rather than just using some general catchy pattern interrupt, you specifically call out the audience that you're trying to target, either with the problem that they're having or just by calling them out by their market's name right at the beginning of the ad, so that Facebook can optimize in that way too. All right, guys, so that's a lot of data for you there. Let's talk about probably the most important stuff of this episode, though, because all of this is really just tactical small things. And they're my favorite type of tips when I listen to content because they're just so actionable, right? So I bet a lot of you have liked some of the information that I've given you thus far because you know exactly what to do after you're done listening. But let's talk about the things that are really going to be the important things that you have to know about your business and just what are actually going to get you results next year. These are a few questions, and if you are in a position to take notes, I would tell you to get a notepad out, and you might find yourself pausing the episode here in a sec and filling in these answers. The first thing that you need to know is you are a content creator and a business. You are not an Instagram marketer. You're not a Facebook marketer. You're not a YouTuber. You're a business and a content creator. And as platforms adjust their algorithms, it's best to be water in these situations, okay? You have to be flexible. You have to know that I have my business's message and I know how to create content around it. My job is to know what platform currently favors this content the best. Where is it going to be the most worth my time? Because if it's not worth your time, like if Instagram just said, you know what, and hashtags are no more, explore page is no more, all your posts are just going to be shown to your followers and that's it, I would spend considerably less time on Instagram immediately, okay? I wouldn't be like, yeah, but I'm the Instagram guy. I need to stay on Instagram, okay? I'd say, look, they just literally took down all organic reach, and it's all about paid ads or just posting to your current following. I'd definitely still post because my engagement would probably be awesome with my current followers, as would yours too. Everyone's engagement would be extremely good with people that follow them, but it would be really hard to grow an audience, and it would completely change my strategy. So you have to know that that's really the only way you're going to survive and adapt. Because if you were a marketer 15 years ago and you were still like, look, I know MySpace can work, you know, it wouldn't be working for you. So Instagram is not going away. It's not really at a phase where it's anywhere near panic mode or anything like that. But as the organic reach isn't as good, it encourages you to say, all right, maybe I should spend a little bit less time organic posting and a little bit more time trying to create ads, or maybe to create more blog posts for my website for SEO, or maybe I do need to do YouTube or podcasting or something like that. Now, I will tell you that the two most secure audiences that you can have, the first one you know is email, because you'll always own them and there's not really a competitor to email. One is podcasting, because there's not really a competitor to podcasts apart from other podcasts. So that's the thing. It's hard to start a podcast. I'm not just going to say, yeah, just go start one today. Like, everyone should do it. But I will tell you, you should consider it, because there's not an algorithm involved. Okay. When I post, you will see it if you're subscribed to me. It's not, and it's in chronological order too. Like, when you go down through your episodes, they will be in the chronological order that the people release them. It's not going to be putting all this ad content in front of you. When you're on, you know, Apple Podcasts, you don't really see ads. They might do that in the future, but as of right now, you don't have an algorithm to all of a sudden change that could change anything about your business. So if you've ever thought about having a podcast, I will tell you that it's a good idea. It definitely is. And maybe in the future, I'll have an episode about starting a podcast. DM me if you like that idea, because it's not something I want to come out with if so few of you are interested. But if I have enough people DM me and say, yes, come out with an episode on how to create a podcast, then I'll put something together. The other thing you need to do is consult, what are your highest income producing activities? This is something that I would pause the episode and write down as many as you can if you're in a position to. But what are really the things that, when you spend time on it, the amount of dollars it's generating per hour you're spending on it are probably the highest. So for me, this would be things like recording a podcast, recording videos is certainly up there too. Writing emails is up there. Creating courses and creating offers are absolutely up there. But things like making infographics, although very important, aren't up there. So that's where it starts to show you where your opportunities to delegate would be. And this isn't an episode on delegation, so I'm not going to dive into that. But if you just know, like, these are truly the things that are making me the most money, and you start just designing your business in a way that allows you to have more time on those, it's just simple math at that point that the more time you spend on these income producing activities, the better. To give you a specific example for something that I'm doing into this next year, I realized that creating 1 minute videos to post on my Instagram wasn't the best use of my time because it was getting me about the same likes as my other posts get me, but it takes me a lot longer to make and I have to edit it and export it. And it was just taking too long for what it was getting me. However, it's still important to post videos on my Instagram. So what I started doing is filming long form videos for YouTube so I can post them on YouTube. And then I can even use the transcriptions from those videos to create blog posts out of them. And then I can potentially even use some of these videos, like if they turn out well, as a podcast episode. And I can clip these videos down into 1 minute segments to be used on my Instagram. So now all of a sudden we're just getting smarter with what we're doing. So you don't necessarily have to cut jobs out, but you have to say, how can I do this in a way that is going to accomplish more things at once? Okay, that's the other mindset to have about this rather than just delegating or eliminating the job. So just like I said there, rather than recording these small videos, I'm now recording long videos that are a lot easier to multi-purpose into other forms of content so that my time is better spent. Wrapping up this episode here, because I've given you plenty to work off of, the main thing I'm saying is be more intentional with your time spent on the app in order to respond to the things that the Social Dilemma documentary talks about, because we can't delete our social media, but we can do things to make sure that it doesn't own more of our time than we'd like it to. How much time you spend on social media and how much time you spend on certain actions, give more time to the ones that are producing results and less to the ones that aren't. Those of you that want more information on my marketing mastery program, so that actually starts on January 14th, and then January 10th is the last day that I'm accepting applications. So go fill one out ASAP because I only have so many call times between now and the 14th anyways, and I will need to talk to you on the phone before I can approve you into the program or not, but this program is really designed with you in mind. It's the best thing that I can offer to new businesses that need help with their marketing now but don't have a ton of extra funds to dish out. That's who this is designed around. And regardless of where you're at, you're gonna get a lot of value in this because even if you're not good at asking questions, feel free to come on the call and just say, look, I'm totally stumped. Here's where I'm at. And I'll tell you exactly what I'd do after I ask you some more questions about your situation and can properly advise. This is really where I can shine and really help people more than I can in episodes like this, where I just give you such general advice because everyone's situation is so different. It's great to actually be able to dive into your situation specifically. So go fill out that application. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I'll talk to you soon.